All right. apparently we're still streaming. I don't know why. We'll just, this is going to be the casual time.
Well, you know, exactly.
I plug the phone back in just in case it rings, so. I'll
pull it up on the board.
We're asking people to call, and then we're like, hey, what's that phone doing ringing?
Yeah.
I didn't run a track on it, though, so.
No, it's not plugged in anyway. I've got the device,
right.
But I haven't hitched it up yet.
Okay.
It's only been sitting here 2 weeks. Okay, so you want to go into some light notes, or do you want to, we finish with the trafficking?
Yeah.
Counselor?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll throw that away.
All right.
Yeah, my last comment on the trafficking is just that if you're sitting on a jury and the charge is trafficking, why don't you just raise that issue? You know, if they say, well, it's just possession, why don't you say, you know what? Yeah, trafficking to me.
Say.
To me, trafficking means moving some stuff.
That's right.
So therefore, not guilty.
Well, of course, the prosecutor probably voir dire you ahead of time.
Well, they can try.
They can try.
But
right.
I had a friend do that, you know. Now, burglary is not what you think it is.
Burglary is when you break in and steal stuff, right?
No. Burglary is crossing the threshold of somebody's else's property with the intent to commit a crime on the other side.
Okay, so this is thought crime.
Well, yeah, it's got some thought element in there. I mean, it's not so much that, it's so open-ended. You know, for example, let's say you're at your friend's house and then they say, get out. Okay, well, now they've revoked your permission to be there. Okay, so let's say that you
What happens if you tell the police to get out?
They shoot you.
I see. Okay, that's right.
No.
That's
there. Now, they get out if they don't have a search warrant or an arrest warrant.
Okay.
But let's say the guy does it. He leaves the property, and then he decides he's coming back to get his cell phone because he forgot that. Well, right. When he steps back on, and in the meantime, though, he decides, you know what else? He's gonna kick your dog when he comes back onto the property.
He's really upset.
Yeah. So he does that. He comes onto your property. He grabs his cell phone and he kicks your dog. Okay, well, he's committed burglary because he intended to strike your dog after he when he broke the threshold. And so I had somebody that was really great. They were on the jury and they said, that's not burglary. and the prosecutor said, well, yes, we told you in jury selection that we defined it as that. And they said, well, yeah, you can define it in any way you want to. But
right.
If my butt's sitting over there in the hot seat, I don't want anybody convicting my ass of burglary.
Right.
You know,
in that instance, right. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Okay, so I had some more stuff here, but we want to move on to some more casual light notes here. What do you want to do there?
Yeah.
You've got your list.
Yeah.
Jimmy's ready to comment.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a little light note intro music.
Is that
a woman gives birth mid-flight.
Okay, let me... This is a flight from where to where?
Well, this is from a 7-pound, 8-ounce baby girl was born Wednesday night on a Mexicana Airlines flight from Guadalajara, Mexico to Chicago O'Hare International Airport.
Ooh.
And airport spokesman says the baby was born nearly an hour before the plane landed.
So it's over the U.S.?
Yeah, it's over the U.S. Luckily for mom and baby, there was an obstetrician on board. The 42-year-old mother was traveling with her husband and other two children to visit relatives in Milwaukee. And they says the mother and daughter are doing fine. So, American, Mexican.
I can tell you right now.
Mexican-American?
That baby's going to be Italian.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born on a Mexican airliner. Is that Mexican territory while it's flying over the United States?
I don't know.
No, it's U.S. airspace.
U.S. airspace.
They should get citizenship.
So if you're pregnant, you could literally launch yourself in a rocket over the U.S. border and then have your kid in...
Well, you don't have to do that. You just have to step your toe over and, you know, run across the Rio Grande, have it on the ground, for God's sakes.
All right. Well, anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Okay, good.
Yeah, have fun with your...
You know, okay, we were talking about coins earlier, and... This family, they, you know, those double eagles, they were first struck in 1850 and they were so named because they had a face value of $20, twice the amount of gold coins known as eagles.
Okay.
Okay. They were solid gold, of course. And,
actually, they were like 98% or
right,
something.
Right. There was 445,500 minted in 1933 and they were melted down before being released into circulation when President FDR, took the country off the gold standard. A handful escaped, however. Two deliberately were set aside for the Smithsonian, and the Mint said that any other in existence were obtained illegally, but agreed after a lengthy court battle to allow one of the coins to be sold at auction in 2002 for $7.59 million.
Woo.
The highest price ever paid for a coin, after its owner agreed to split the proceeds with the Mint.
Oh, my God.
Like they need any freaking money, they make money there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. They got it all. I mean, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You can walk past and reach in the barrel and scoop out anything you want, for God's sakes.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, how many were minted?
Well, there was 500,000, and they were melted down before being released.
So they'd been in storage for like 60 years.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. And that would, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the...
Well, before it reminds you too much,
okay.
I mean, let me...
okay. Don't want that to happen.
I don't want that to happen. Langbird, this guy, he discovered the coins in 2003 in a safe deposit box belonged to her deceased father, longtime Philadelphia jeweler Israel Swit. Abe's a Philadelphia jeweler, and was aware of the case, okay, and contacted the Mint to disclose the coin's existence in an attempt to reach an amiable solution to any issues that might be raised, and she handed the coins over to the Mint to be authenticated.
Whoa, stupid!
Stupid is
retard alert!
Retard alert!
Uh-oh, retard alert!
But the Mint, of course, refused back, saying they were stolen from the Mint. And Swit, who died in 1999.
But isn't there a statute of limitations on anything like that?
You'd think. I mean, something.
Yeah, there should be.
You know,
on theft, well, not murder, but.
But yeah. Well, anyway, the guy who apparently procured them, the guy who died in 1990, the jeweler, told Secret Service agents in 1944 that he had possessed and sold nine 1933 double eagles. So obviously he's real brain smart. According to the Mint, all were tracked down by the government and destroyed between 1944 and 1952. So basically the Mint's claiming that the coins are stolen and therefore they can keep it. But the most valuable coins ever. But, yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't have given them over and just sold them on the black market or something.
Well, I wouldn't have done that much. I would have held the Mint up. I would have said, hypothetically, if I have one of these, what's your... And they say, well, you can't do it. And you say, well, F you, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll...
Right.
What you do is you'd go over to France or something and sell it.
Yeah,
right.
So, anyway, the reminds me, though, when you talk about 500,000 of them made, I was watching a show the other day about the Hellcat or the Grumman, the big Grumman 2,000 horsepower
Bearcat.
Was it the Bearcat? It was the one that they fought the Zeros. It was the plane came into production and
both
like
Hellcat and Bearcat were.
Well, there was one that was early version that had like 1,000 horsepower, and then there was a later
Bearcat was the most powerful one.
Okay, well anyway, 2,000 horsepower, well armed, it could outdo the Zero on a lot of things. Do you know they made over 12,000 of those?
Right.
There's like one in existence. I mean, I thought, God, what a waste.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't like to have one of those today? I don't care about gas prices.
Right.
I mean, God.
People were like shooting at them. That's
no, but I mean, the thing about it is they had like a 50-to-1 kill ratio or whatever it was. They ruled the skies over the South Pacific and everything. But I mean, basically what they did is they destroyed them.
Right. And they cut up all the P-51s for aluminum and whatever else.
God,
after
can you imagine?
Tanks over the cliffs and
I saw, for instance, when they at the end of the Vietnam War, after they had helicoptered out, they were shoving them, literally taking a little bulldozer, shoving off the carriers into the brand new, Hueys, whatever. God, why? Who? What kind of mind would do that?
Government.
Ah, okay, that explains that. I was just asking. It certainly wasn't a rhetorical question.
This is another little court thing here. This one guy, this dog wandered over into this guy's property.
Burglary.
Yeah, I guess so. This guy had a combination BB and pellet gun at the ready. He'd been squirrel hunting that day.
Oh yeah, he blasted the dog.
And he blasted and inadvertently hit the dog and severed an aorta. And Shadow died en route to the veterinary hospital.
Yeah, he's going to get some time.
He was given a year of probation in order to perform 100 hours of community service and pay $4,000 in restitution.
Whoa, $4,000 for Shadow?
Yeah, and well, now here's the deal. Now what the dog's owners are trying to do is they're trying to appeal it to stringent sentence because they couldn't have children, so they basically adopted the dogs as their children. They fed them people food and. Whatever. So what they're trying to do is this case is basically trying to
It's the loss of companionship thing that you
right.
get. Oh, yes.
And they're trying to expand the loss of companionship under the civil law.
To dogs.
Right.
But not parrots or cats or horses
or ferrets
or turtles
right.
or fish.
Well,
or
here's the deal with
it's
this.
It's just dogs. Look,
there's a court called
pigs.
There's a court
and
of
pigs.
Pigs are smarter than
pigs,
dogs.
Yeah.
There's a court of equity in the United States, which derives from the court of equity from England, which basically means equality, obviously. And what it is you used to be able to go to the king and say, this guy screwed me over, and I want you to make it right. And the object of the court was to make it right. That is, to put the person back in the place of they were before all the bad stuff happened. And that's the origin of all of our civil law, our tort law. If somebody hurts you, it's derived from that. And so this is just an extension of that. That is, somebody goes to the king, to the government, and you say, look, you know, that I ought to be able to collect some pain and suffering from this because it's painful and I'm suffering.
Right.
And if they can prove it, then knock yourselves out. I mean, go for it. If you can actually prove, if you can prove that somebody hurt you to a jury, then maybe you're entitled to some relief.
Certainly, I mean, when you do your voir dire, you're going to want to know if they got dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have a pet dog? Have you ever lost a pet dog?
Cat person?
You cat person.
This restitution thing, though, brings up another point that is corollary to this, and that has to do, believe it or not, with a little bit with eminent domain, and that is, let's say somebody comes along and they say, you've got this house here, and we want to take it, and what we're going to do is we're going to give you a house just like it.
In Iraq.
In Iraq, right. Well, no, I mean, down the road, across the street, whatever it is, give you one just like it, and that way you'll be whole. But in the meantime, of course, the market value here, at least in Florida, maybe has increased dramatically. In other words, it's not just the house. It's the fact that it's worth a bunch of money because property values in general have gone up. In other words, you now have an investment in this house just because time has passed. So what is restitution in that case? What happens if somebody comes along and says, I'll give you your house back just as it was? That is, we're going to rebuild it just like it was, but you don't get the investment potential or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that to me, it seems there's a question there as to what constitutes the value.
Well, I mean, that's part of the evidence that you get to prove up. I mean, obviously the government gets off light. They get to pay you like, they get to pay you like the actual value or the depreciated value or something, not the replacement value.
The insurance companies will play the depreciated value on a car, for instance, when it's totaled.
Right. I think the government gets the same deal.
Not on eminent domain. Do they have to have an appraisal come through? I think
they very well may.
I think it's market. I think it's sort of market value.
It very well may be.
But it doesn't include any emotional value. Say, you know, I raised all my kids here.
Right.
No, gone. They're gone.
No, that means nothing.
Okay, that means
now,
nothing.
Now, of course, that's how you would seek to expand that into the law. That's what you'd try to do. Try to get some judge to find that, yes, in fact, there was extra value associated with your emotional attachment there and send it on up and hope that it appeals all the way up, and the Supreme Court ratifies it. But
these people, this is the defense attorney. These people think this dog is a human being. He said, it's not a human being, and that dog was trespassing.
And if it was a human being.
Right.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you get
shot.
It was
trespassing.
Right,
that's right.
Right, you're right.
I thought it was Bigfoot.
If they want to put me in jail, that's what they can do. He said, I'm not going to pay them anything because I don't owe them anything. All I'm going to do is go to court and go through the motions. Then Nick says,
a big mistake. I hope he's not going to be his own attorney.
Right, yeah, right. Sarah Shield, the owner of the dog, said she and her husband are pursuing the case to honor Shadow. We're not in it for the money, she said. We want to get national legislation that will recognize pets as companions and not just property.
Well, they're already recognized as, to some extent, as companions, but what kind of money do you put on it?
They're not in it for the money.
That's right.
Okay, but they want more money.
That's it. Not in,
right.
Okay, good.
They want money for the emotional thing, but they don't want more money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right.
They want the money for the emotional thing, not for the money.
Not for the money part.
That's right. To assuage. So the point is they're so
sad. I like
these
green bills just because for the art value, really.
Well, no, but they make me happy.
Right.
Just to look at them and then spend them.
In fact, well, here's another one. This man must wear a costume for shooting dog. He shot his Great Dane in the head and then I guess the
discipline.
Judge says, yeah, discipline. And then he says 10 days in jail. to if he wears a safety pup costume and visits the five elementary schools.
Whoa.
Safety pup.
Yeah, this is...
I shot my safety pup.
This goes along with, Jimmy, your other article that you showed me about the judge taking over that town.
Yes, yes,
and making
yes.
the kids do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right. Well, he was being the...
And the question is, can the judge make you do, 100 jumping jacks?
Right.
And touch your nose five times and wear a dog suit and go to the elementary schools? And the answer is yes, because even though that may
be gummed to judge.
Well, exactly. Well, here comes the what it is this. It may be an illegal sentence for them to make you go do that. Fine. Object, and the judge will give you a legal sentence.
Right.
He'll give
yes.
you some serious jail time.
Right.
You know, and the problem is that anything these days carries a sentence weight that's more than anybody can sustain. That is, the least lightest crime you can possibly commit can get you 2 months in jail.
Right.
Which is a life
and
ruiner.
A fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get 2 months in jail, you lose your job, you lose your
house,
mortgage,
right,
your wife leaves, your car,
right,
everything goes.
And it's on your record.
Right.
Yeah. Job opportunities out the window.
You're destroyed. And that's the lightest thing possible. And think about it, the judge has got a year at discretion at his hands, which is still misdemeanor.
Right.
Is a year. And so.
So here he is. Of course, this particular. That was the reason I sent you that article. I was curious to know your take on this, because the judge actually seemed to be doing a pretty good thing for these
right.
kids.
And we got a judge in Florida that's like that does that kind of stuff. And
you're not talking about Miller.
No. La 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 la. But no. There's another judge around that does that.
You might actually appear there, huh?
Yeah.
In front of Judge.
And that judge will make you do the same types of things. And look, if they screw up really bad, they're going to pay for it.
Right.
If they make the kid do something that gets him hurt or something like that.
They had the thing where they've had him put on their license tag, for instance, or wear a bumper sticker that said, "I'm a drunk driver."
Right. Well, they've done something like that. But I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you have them like walking the dog or doing a little drag show or something. And,
a drag show. Cool.
But, they're going to do it because the alternative is to go ahead and object and get a legal sentence year in jail.
Well,
or whatever it is.
And the course, where this goes, I guess it, one of the things that people object to or talk about is the slippery slope thing. And that is, what if the judge isn't so
totally cool?
Totally cool. Well, what if his sentence is almost as bad? You don't go to jail, you don't lose your job and everything, but instead of doing 100 jumping jacks, you have to do 1,000
right.
or something, or
10,000.
10,000.
What if you die doing them?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Of course, that's when you got a problem.
If
and
there's
that's
harm,
happened.
Then something's going to come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that's going to come back on the judge. But still, you can. The slippery slope is
they can get away with a lot because the limit on their power is so high. I mean,
right.
it's way up there. I mean, there really needs to
or
be.
Or even the limit is low.
The limit is low, right?
Yeah,
I meant the
what they can do is a lot.
The reach,
right. Exactly. And so infinite. What they really should do is they should have a third degree misdemeanor, which is punishable by up to like a week in jail, and then probably a fourth degree misdemeanor punishable by like a night in jail. And most of your crime should be like fourth degree misdemeanor. You get drunk.
How about a little slap across the face?
Yeah. Well, that's like
a
day in jail.
Get a nun in there with a ruler and see what happens.
And they whack you on the knuckles.
It's like Otis on the Andy Griffith Show.
Right. Right. He lets himself out.
In and out, right?
Yeah.
That should be a little bit more appropriate if the minor.
What you could do is you could just put the jail cell over there with a little TV camera on there.
Right.
Nobody mans it.
No.
You just go in there and you clank yourself in and you clank yourself out.
You record yourself for a day.
You record yourself for a day. Boom.
Right.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm on.
So I'm into that.
So that's not going to change. And you probably get more of that as time goes on.
Lockdown.
Well, and the more. The higher sentences they can get. The judges aren't so much a problem, though. I mean, because up till recently, they could let people off light.
Right.
But now it's getting to the point of where they have no discretion.
What this brings up, of course, is a valid point, and that is no matter what you do, there's going to be abuses one way or the other. And every time they try and correct it, there's going to be a new set of abuses.
Right.
And you wonder, it's a pendulum thing, but of course.
Except the noose gets tightening.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the thing. It's a ratchet situation.
Right.
It goes back one step, goes forward two more ratchets, and it's tightening. And that's
Lockdown.
If anybody in the Jimmy Doan show is listening from islands or whatever it is, I'm looking for property. So,
if you'd like Jimmy as your roommate, please write us at jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
We can do our broadcast and just make sure you have a Wi-Fi and we're
free. So check this out. The apparently the new deer, before it even gets started on evolution, is wiped out. This guy Ron Lisco, he hunts deer with a bow, but he got his most unusual game by driving one down with a truck. The buck, he ran over this deer. He says the deer ran out underneath his vehicle and got hit.
Fish deer,
right? Well, anyway, the duck had nub antlers and 7 legs, and it also had male and female reproductive organs.
Come on, are you sure he didn't squash 2 and they got? That kind of mixed together there, you know.
That's
the weirdest deer I've ever seen. Dang.
That deer had 2 heads and 8 legs.
Now you know what. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Female parts.
That's right. Now you know. You know what was happening.
Now I do.
That's why I bring these stories in to clarify, because I thought it was some very weird.
No. They were in the mating department in the middle of the road.
Right.
And kaboom, and they were permanently together.
Right.
In love. Okay. Dear love.
Well, anyway, that's apparently they took photos and sent it to the DNR wildlife manager. But
and he's laughing his ass off at this. Guess what?
It's going to end up on the world's funniest home pictures or whatever. He says he wasn't going to let the meat go from the animal, but I guess it was animals. And by the way, I did eat it. It was tasty.
Yeah, of course it was. Speaking of extinction, they just ruled, I think, extinct that dolphin, that white dolphin in China.
Oh, yeah?
They just finally... Moby Dolphin, yeah. Up the Yangtze River, whatever it is. Yangtze.
Oh, no.
That's right. Ching-chong, ching-chong, ching-chong.
Hey, you see that guy in Miami? He murdered the topless bar manager. And he took 34 minutes to die on the lethal injection.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
No, they of course, Jeb has banned all executions here in Florida.
Yeah, they shut it down.
They shut it down, all executions. And I guess we still have the electric chair. We still have old Sparky here.
Right.
I think they're shutting that down, too.
Didn't we have an electrocution here not too long ago?
Yeah,
it's right up the road here.
I noticed my lights flickered the other day.
Yeah, cool.
And we had Danny Rawlings just not too long ago.
Yeah, I think he got fried. Yeah. But 34 minutes, and you know what, the article in today's paper,
right.
And by the way, in case we haven't told you, which I forgot to tell you the date.
And sometimes.
Sometimes 9 days to Christmas or something, was that they found, it's hard to believe, they said it was botched by the people giving the injections. They said they screwed it up. They gave them in the wrong order or something.
I mean, the thing is
the autopsy proved.
Why do they even have? I mean, you can go to get like one of those cone snails or something.
Yeah,
and just throw that on the guy; he'll be dead in seconds. You know, I mean, it's like there's venoms out there.
There are
the Irukandji jellyfish. Just have him do an Irukandji jellyfish shot.
Aren't there about like 9 of the most lethal species in the world down under?
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, they got
some spider that, like, looks at you and you die.
Yes.
Look at this spider.
No, that's right. They do. I remember seeing that. The Black Widow is, like, tame compared to this thing.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. So I don't understand why they're having this. And I know that they can come up with stuff that's quick. I mean, I know this.
Well, the problem is that, of course, the drugs that make you feel good that they give you ahead of time, they give you some kind of not a relaxant. They give you a muscle relaxant, but I think before that they give you something to get you high.
Yeah.
And, I don't care. Let's die.
Right.
They're Schedule 1, probably. They're probably getting them.
Just throw a blue ring octopus on his face.
Yeah, exactly.
See what happens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Watch that.
Did you see that they're going to build that... this 70-foot walkway out from the corner of the Grand Canyon.
Boo!
With all glass floors and glass walls.
No.
It's like some business guy in Las Vegas. Apparently, there's a struggling Indian tribe called the Hualapai that are based on one's edge of the Grand Canyon over there.
Right. You do know that they've now, you can't fly down into the Grand Canyon anymore.
Yeah, that's horseshit.
Yeah, and until about just a couple years ago, like 10 years ago, helicopter rides and the Cessna rides, the ones where you could, the high wing Cessnas,
right.
They would fly down into the Grand Canyon. But now this Indian tribe has gotten and claimed
right.
to the rim.
Is that the Hualapai?
I think it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're a bunch of pussies.
Well, they're making money. I mean, it's...
Apparently they weren't making money, and they're trying to end the despair and joblessness that plagues the tribe's 2,200 members. More than a third of
them. Hey, there's no jobs down in this canyon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. Man, what... I'm sorry you can't kill cowboys anymore, but what the hell did you used to do before, you know...
I've been standing on this corner for a long time making great jobs.
You know, I mean, that's what the whole point.
I know it's a corner of a river.
He said, well, the problem is his "we'll work for food" sign is in another language.
Right.
It's in Wallapi or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's in one of those languages that you can't write down.
Well,
he has to say it. What is it, The Whisper? What was that, The Silent? What was that movie with Nicolas Cage? The one where they use the Indians to communicate.
The horse whisperer?
No, that was the horse thing. There was one called where there was like an Iwo Jima. They used the two.
Oh, right.
The Hopi or the...
It was Apaches or something.
Yeah, it was Navajo, wasn't it?
Yes, no, I think it was Navajo.
Yeah.
It was an Indian.
Western. So anyway, there's lots of Indians.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're completely dependent on the 345,000 visitors that come to their reservation each year to tour the tribe's end of the canyon by boat or helicopter.
Whoa, really?
And I believe so.
Okay, this is not the same one then, because the one where I looked at, you have to get down there by mule.
Okay.
That's where you take the mule ride down.
Well, okay. Canyon boat. By boat or helicopter, I don't know.
That's at one end of the canyon.
Grand Canyon National Park, by comparison, gets 4.1 million visitors, so they're not doing too bad. I mean, as far as the...
I'd raise the rates.
You know, something. Well, again...
Parade your women out there without shirts on or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, get a couple of Pocahontas's out there, boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Pocahontas strip bar.
That's done.
What I do. Done.
You That's know, it.
There's no problem there.
That's right. The savage strippers.
So
naked natives.
They did hire Robbie Knievel to jump aside of the canyon on his motorcycle, and he apparently made it.
We probably would have heard if he had.
So anyway, but I was thinking, who's going to be the first person to base jump off this new thing? You know, they're going to run out there with a backpack. Wow.
When the Empire State Building was first erected, it didn't have any barriers. I mean, you could jump.
You could jump.
Nobody did. I don't think anybody actually did.
Well, they probably didn't have parachutes back then.
It was built in the 30s.
Yeah.
It only took about a year to put it up, too. Anyway, it
took about 2 years for them to invent a parachute. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this is going to be twice as high, 4,000 feet straight down, twice as high as the world's tallest building, which is...
Wait, say that again. What is?
I thought
this thing was going to stretch out cantilever over the canyon.
It is, but the drop, when you're looking down, is going to be 4,000 feet straight down, which is twice as tall as the...
Right, the canyon
tallest
is almost...
building.
That's right.
Which means we got buildings that are 2,000 feet tall.
Right. That could very well be. That's like 200 stories. Okay, I can handle that. Well, we did have until they came down.
Well, that's true.
The deal is that the canyon, I think they claim that it's a mile deep.
Right.
So 4,000 feet is right.
Yeah, that would be good enough. It'd take you a while to fall. I mean, not that long. Did you see this? They have this
long enough.
In Vienna, they have this thing. I went on the web and actually looked at the little video, but Robo Exotica, they got over 30 robots that make drinks at bars.
Now, do these like look humanoid things, or are they just...
They're all different kinds. Some
all you have to have, it seems to me, is a machine with a bunch of spouts on it.
Yeah.
Well, they do have that, but again, they also have like machines that are like, they have like two robots in pairs, and they were like throwing cherries at each other. One had a bucket, and one was trying to
catch
it. And no, they were like, of course, the robots were like
missing.
But the thing is, they do some of that intentionally to try to give the robots a little more human thing. And like, they got robots that'll smoke cigarettes and cigars.
No,
and,
illegal.
It's in
bars, you can still smoke.
It's
I guess
in Vienna.
We don't allow your kind in here.
Yes. So, but it's at RoboExotica.com. I checked it out. There was kind of the guy's all excited. He goes, "People are interacting. They're actually talking to my robot."
Yeah, they found that to be the case. They said it takes about a nanosecond for people to start to interact with robots. I mean,
it's instantaneous.
Now, this of course brings up your dog thing. I mean, what happens if you lose your robot as a companion? You get to sue Nintendo or what? I mean,
heck yeah, man.
Yeah, that's right. Wind talkers who came back. Jimmy, Gino came back and said it's Wind Talkers is the name of the movie.
Wind Talkers, okay. Yeah.
So we're still streaming.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Hey, you sweet thing, have you ever had a date with a robot? One of the robots asked the women customers. And that's when those guys go, you want what? Order yourself a drink for a man, you girl. So, you know, as I said, like with Cynthia Brazil at the MIT Media Lab, she says that, you know, her favorite thing is to watch the people. They don't want to leave the conversation because they're scared they're going to hurt the robot's feelings.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, that's my good. God.
They did launch a new, I guess the new fighter jet took the air, the new F-35, which I'm sure we'll probably hear about on the Hangar Dogs. It's the new stealth fighter, Joint Strike Fighter. Yeah, for $245 billion or whatever it is.
That's not each.
No. That's the program. Contract. But yeah, it's 10 years or whatever. But this one has stealth capability, vertical. Well,
VTOL or whatever.
Yeah, VTOL on one version at least, and it's got super cruise, which means it can fly supersonic without afterburner.
Now so, I saw that there was
that'd be a cool
was
thing
that
to
the
have.
One that had the competition between Boeing and
yep, Boeing and Lockheed.
They had a big Discovery Channel thing on that.
Oh, yeah.
on the competition.
And our friend Dave Sherman worked on the Boeing one on the Pratt & Whitney side of the engine. But you know he said he told me straight up as soon as he started working he goes I saw our design it's the ugliest plane he goes he won't win just because it's ugly
right
and he goes yep sure enough didn't win
the ugly one now there were two competing. Techniques is to the vertical takeoff. One guy had a big fan, had a blade, had a deflector, and the other one had like a separate engine or something to make it go up and down. The vertical part.
This one, the ugly one had a tail would close and it would kind of blow through the body like
right.
a Harrier. And then the Lockheed version one, actually the whole tail rotates downward and then their fan, there's like doors that open up and there's a fan that's driven by the same motor, but
right.
it's like a shaft drive. So there's cold air in the front,
right.
which was the
that's
big deal
right.
because
yeah.
it doesn't, you know, the problem with the Harrier is that it can still pick up hot gases and get
right.
sucked in the front of the engine and then you lose efficiency and then you got a problem.
Right.
Yeah. So this is apparently supposedly going to do that, but it's a much more intricate design.
Good deal. So we can kill people faster and easier.
Yeah.
Good
deal. See they're going to auction off Hitler's race car?
No.
For 12, well.
Oh, this is the Audi?
Yeah, the Auto Union D-Type.
This was designed by Porsche.
No. It was designed by Auto Union.
Yeah, but I think that Ferdinand Porsche was working there then.
I think he
was the guy that actually, before he designed the Beetle.
You're right. He also designed another car for Hitler, Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, the V12 engine with 485 horsepower in 1939, that's pretty good.
You could do that today.
Today that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So they're going to auction that off at Christie's. So.
And it's going to be expected to bring how much?
They think it might fetch as high as $12 million, which would be the most ever on a car.
Jay Leno will be there
in spades.
You can bet on that.
Whoever buys it will get criticized. Well, you're promoting the Nazi Party.
Oh, you know, I bet you, you know, in Germany and in, I believe also in France, you're not allowed to advertise on Google or on eBay or something.
You're not allowed to advertise.
So,
I don't think here. I don't think in the U.S. I don't think you can.
Oh, no, you can. Of course you can.
You can order like Hitler's old burial uniform or something.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
we're not that far gone yet.
Hmm. How about this bill would let the blind hunt in Texas?
Okay.
So
pretty much always hunting.
I was going to say, what do you need a bill for?
Right.
I mean, what? I'm sorry, I'm missing the import on this.
I don't know. I mean, it just apparently there's.
Is it illegal now?
I guess it opens up the fun of hunting for additional people. I think that'd be great. Like blind people out hunting. I guess apparently you have to have some sighted hunter with you.
Why?
I don't know.
Who, Dick Cheney? I'm not sure. You know, there's a limit.
Shoot, okay. Over there.
Yeah, all right, go.
Here's another one from Texas. Real estate agent offers guns to home buyers. So this real estate agent, but of course, guess the clincher is, it's only to police officers. She's going to give them a Glock if they buy a $150,000 or more home from them.
I don't understand why she wouldn't open that up to the regular people.
Exactly. That's
little enough to ask.
You sent me this one, the 10 top deadly most toys of all time.
No, I only looked at the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like an atomic bomb or something. I know. No, when I was growing up, you could buy this stuff. I'm serious. You could buy. Let me tell you. When
contains
I was growing,
real uranium.
No, I'm serious. No, do not laugh. My dad, and we're talking, and I'm going to tell you two things here real quick. My dad, in the 50s, mm-hmm. went out to Wyoming and all those places because the scam, and my mm-hmm. dad got caught in on this, the scam was we found uranium. And I remember having my first Geiger counter, mm-hmm. and dad brought home like four or five radioactive samples, like in, you know, in your hand, no, in a glass, in a little glass, and you would walk up to this thing and the, this thing would tick off. I mean, it was no problem. And of course, when you bought shoes, you walked into the Han shoe store and you x-rayed your feet and you could watch, see your bones and everything. And of course your feet fell off and you had to have new. No, the point is that they outlawed that because x-rays are in that concentration and that the number of times you, because when you're growing up, when you're 5 years old, you're getting shoes every month. So you're going to see how your feet fit in the shoe. So that was radiation, the x-ray radiation. And in those days, you could buy a Gilbert chemistry set that had a radioactive rock in it.
It had a meth lab.
Oh. Well, no, 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 you wish. I mean, if you find, let me put it this way. If you could find an unopened basic, not maybe the Gilbert chemistry sets came in like four or five different flavors. And I would say if you got the medium one, you could build death.
Wow.
I mean, you could build gunpowder easily enough. It had potassium nitrate, sulfur and charcoal easily, all guaranteed at least that much out of the 30 or 40 chemicals. Now, I'm not sure in the book they told you how to make the gunpowder, but the fact is that they had the radioactive stuff. They had all the, you know, the isotopes. They had all
the cool stuff.
Yeah. And I remember going over to the Fisher Laboratories and you could walk in the door. I was not old enough to drive. My mother would have to drive me over there and I had my couple of dollars and I would buy Erlenmeyer flasks, beakers, coolers, condensing tubes, all that stuff. And they would just bring it right out. Yeah, here, how much? That'll be $20. And today you'd be like arrested. You'd be, you have to sign for any of that stuff. They're figuring you're going to put together a still.
It is astounding.
Which is what we did.
Which is what we did.
We made dandelion wine.
Yeah, I love this. This was a pretty classic little thing. Maybe I'll post this picture on the Jimmy Doan Show. It's like, make your own atomic cloud chamber, and you know.
Yeah, I mean,
safe radioactive materials.
Well, if you're if you've got the I love this safe atomic bomb.
Right,
no,
right.
If you've got your cloud chamber, the next thing you need is an accelerator.
Right, right, right. Which again is illegal to own. You can't own your own a particle accelerator in the U.S.
Bullshit.
No, he said that.
You're kidding.
No, we talked about it on a show before.
You can't build one yourself and like magnets and everything and just...
Mm-mm. They won't let you.
Why not?
Some issue. I got it in notes somewhere.
I gotta take a look at that because I don't... That's...
You're not allowed to own your own x-ray machine.
Whoa!
Yeah. As a private citizen, you have to be a doctor or some licensed x-ray technician to own your own x-ray machine.
I say we get some of that. You know what I did the other day?
Well, you can get a magnetron from like a 747 and put it in the back of your station wagon.
Uh-huh.
And like when the cop pulls up behind you, just hit the thing and, you know, big microwave oven.
You know what I did? I did
sparks
something.
Flying
everywhere. I did something. I'm a dangerous person. You know what I did the other day? I took the
baking soda and put it with vinegar.
No, well, that's boy talking about danger. I'm not going to admit to that on the air.
Right.
But could have happened. No, right. I drove the kids. I had these two little kids, aged 18 months and about 3 and a half, and I put them in the car and did not put them in their little seats.
You did not.
Yep, and drove them around through the mall parking lot. And I tell you, you know, Sonny, I was actually very nervous about being arrested.
Right. You would have been.
Well, and thrown in jail. No,
right.
Think about when I was growing up, the only thing you had was your mother's hand slapped across your front when she was driving down the road. You rode the front seat. There were no airbags or seatbelts. The only seatbelt you had was this arm that shot out. You know,
it still does.
It still does, right?
Right.
You know, that is funny.
No, it's true.
I drive here. I am, you know, collecting Social Security. And if anybody's riding in the front seat, especially if you're large breasted,
right? <You're
laughs> and
right,
I step on the brakes, I'm reaching for it.
Right. Did you see the FBI director says they're going to finally solve the Hoffa case?
Really?
Well, they just said it'll eventually be solved. They did maintain inside the $250,000 budget for tearing up that ranch, though, that they had budgeted for it.
Uh-huh.
They stayed within their $250,000 budget for tearing up the ranch.
And they found nada.
No.
Okay,
but
good.
That was good. You know, they were at least they're on budget.
You know, when you think about it, when you think about the budgets of so many things, it is not unusual for them to be 10 times over budget.
Right.
And that's a shock, actually. How could that be?
I don't know. Lizzie Bolden died. She was the world's oldest person at 116. I thought that was your little sister.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I like this, though. This is kind of cool. You're seeing here one of her 40 grandchildren, Jack, who was 74 at the time. Check it out. She had 75 great-grandchildren, 40 grandchildren, 75 great-grandchildren, 150 great-great-grandchildren, 220 great-great-great-grandchildren, and 75 great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
God, that is amazing.
Can you imagine the freaking, I mean, that
the family
is...
family get-together? She's kind of prolific.
I mean, that is amazing. That's a lot of people. That's pretty
amazing.
She
could start her own country.
I just got two other things. There was apparently a talk about the Christmas season maybe being pretty good. In Mentor, Ohio, there was an electrical fire that was raging, and then they had to put people to stop the shoppers from coming in. They wanted them to go in and start keep shopping, even though there was dense smoke and stuff.
I'm getting mine, Barbie.
That's right. What, they got the Wii in there?
Right, yeah.
Yes, get out of the way.
PlayStation, I'm in the dark.
That's right,
exactly. Bring it up.
And,
no, you don't. Let me tell you something. You don't.
They
it's like standing between a microphone and Chuck Schumer. You know, when you know you don't want to be there because you'll die.
Right.
But
right,
it's like
right.
Shoppers in Christmas season. You don't want to get in the way. You know, a little thing like a fire smoke. I don't think so. No, we're shopping.
And I didn't know this, but you know, if you actually write a letter to Santa Claus, do you know where it goes?
Yeah. These days they send it to. Somewhere in Norway, there's a little town up there, and
we have Christmas Florida, you know.
What? Oh yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, Gary from B3 World lives down there. The guy who
really
works on my organ, yeah.
Yeah, well, we talked about the Christmas thing about a year ago.
Oh. It's a good thing. It's a good
actually,
thing.
Actually, you got to go back. If you ever go back and listen to the show we did with a deer coming off the garage roof,
that was a classic.
Oh, God, that was a classic show. You'll see a deer scared off parking garage. Yeah, that's a good one.
We had some. We did notice that Stitch said he was in tears. Did I say that?
Yeah,
tears last time over your sound effects. We did get a notice here from Gino says that Pratt and Whitney engines on both those planes.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the Pratt and Whitney wins on both.
Yeah,
they didn't care.
Yeah,
No problem. We're working right up here.
But apparently, there's a town called North Pole in Alaska that they send like all this stuff to.
And the light
poles are curved and striped like candy canes, and the streets have names such as Santa Claus Lane and Kris Kringle Drive, and around Thanksgiving, all these letters start to pour.
Of course,
in.
If the rate things are going, there will be no snow up there in 40 years.
That's true.
In 24 years.
It'll Christmas
be,
in the Bahamas.
That's right.
Even stampless letters get through.
Really?
A rare exception for the U.S. Postal Service. I would like to know if there's any other exceptions.
You know, speaking of that, I need to find out. What happens if you put 38 cents on the stamp? Do they send it through, I wonder?
No way, man. There's no way.
It gets sent back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody sent him a $1,000 money order, and anonymous boat said, if you are who you say you are, you'll put this to good use. They bought stamps with it.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is random. Oh, they fished out a random letter to read to the reporter, and this one says the writer Ashley wants only one thing. An iPod Nano, but then asks, what list am I on? The naughty or nice list? I know which list there, Jenny Eric will be on. Let's see. How many cookies do you think you can eat on Christmas night? That was a real thing. And they said that they never make any promises for anybody.
Really?
No. No matter how many cookies you put on the plate. So,
how about a little cocaine, man?
Hey, man, you know, that's it. I made a Christmas list up, actually. I wanted to get 3 gigs of RAM for my computer, in case any people are listening. New PCI video card.
Is that 3200 DDR? What, 4800 DDR?
3200, PC 3200, 400 megahertz. Okay. I got 3 slots, so I need 3 gig chips. PCI video card, a working or RC scale
version. I got a PCI video card here.
Oh, really? Good. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll abscond with that.
Okay.
I wanted to get a working RC or full scale version of the new F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. A Ferrari 355 silver one.
Oh, a real one.
Yeah, yeah.
Silver.
Yeah, okay.
Or that Hitler sports car. That'd be pretty cool. I need to get my car detailed. A date with Amy Taylor. You can look her up on the web. Oh, a lifetime subscription to Playboy, which will actually have a Playboy bunny deliver you the little certificate.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. A steel cutting laser, some polonium 210, a new stock kit and silencer for my FN, my Match 22.
For rifle. Your FN.
Well, yeah. The one I borrowed from you a long time ago that hasn't given back.
I see how that works.
Well, I'll fix it up for you.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to get a Law shotgun, a Barrett Light 50 with a rangefinder scope, a SIG 45, a Private Island, Gulfstream G5, And then it gets, it starts to get
expensive.
A luxury submarine, a working Saturn V, and then, of course, the totally, you know, like I said, the cloaked bird of prey, a time machine, a UFO, or Jimmy Doan merchandise, which all fall into that category.
Well, Jimmy, you might end up getting some Jimmy Doan merchandise.
I don't know. That stuff's about as hard to come by as a Saturn V these days.
I beg your pardon. There are people that actually have received Jimmy Doan sort of merchandise.
Sort of is the correct.
That's right. All right. Well, that's about it. That was good. That was good. And yeah, we blew off damn near another hour.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be.
I didn't even get to the point about the Korean kid who is suspended for a year from college, or kicked out actually.
Yeah.
Because he put on Facebook an invitation to a fraternity party that was off campus.
Right.
And it offended some people. And
what's Facebook?
Facebook is like
a blog thing.
Yeah, well, it's like MySpace.
Okay. Gotcha.
And apparently, what happened was he put the invitation on there, and it offended some people. And then he basically got kicked out of school. It was, even though it was a private function off campus, yada yada yada. Some people were offended, and he got suspended and 300 hours of community service. He's Korean.
300 hours of community service.
Yeah, that's what the school said. Now, he doesn't have to do it. He can just quit. I mean, he's a genius. Went into Johns Hopkins when he was 15 years old.
Right.
Really genius kid, and he's head of the social department on Sigma Chi.
Uh-huh.
And he posted this invitation to their whatever their festive party was. And apparently it was...
Hey, that was my friend.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was Council Curtis's. Sigma Chi.
Yeah, well, there you go. Anyway,
brother.
So anyway, I think he's suing or
my
something.
My man.
Yeah, my man. Anyway, it turns out this is, I'm wondering, the people who were offended were blacks because of the way the invitation was worded. And, of course, he's Korean, Asian. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm wondering, what happens when the endangered species eats another endangered species? You know, what happens
when they go extinct.
Okay. All right.
I guess. Well, one endangered species gets fatter, the other one goes extinct.
Okay, so don't forget jimmy@jimmydoan.com, Curtis at jimmydoan.com, or
Eric at jimmydoan.com.
I'm Curtis at jimmydoan.com.
You're about 10 things at jimmydoan.com.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm close enough.
Yeah, you're Council Curtis at jimmydoan.com, Curtis at jimmydoan.com. I'm Engineer Eric at jimmydoan.com, Eric at jimmydoan.com, spelled both ways. Jack's Jack and Jimmy Doan.
Yeah, we're hopefully maybe get Jack here for a session, because everybody looks forward to Jack. We got some mail on Jack.
Well, he's got congratulations to his baby Gracie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So he's at home. I'm sure he's Well, who knows? He's probably not even sleeping right now.
No. That's right. All right, well, that's it, and I appreciate you all listening, and send money.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you all. Thank you, Counselor. Thank you, Engineer.
See you later.
Yeah.
We appreciate your listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Doan Show.